The Acts of Apostles, a continuation of the Gospel according to Luke, recounts the life of the first generation of Christians following Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. In our reading today, Paul, Silas, and the author, Luke, we presume, return to Philippi. Their actions in the Macedonian city in liberating a slave leads to persecution and imprisonment. But God's grace turns this suffering into yet another opportunity to share the gospel, even with their captors. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. With Paul and Silas, we came to Philippi in Macedonia, a Roman colony. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The book of Revelation, a letter attributed by tradition to John, was addressed to Christian communities in Asia Minor that were likely suffering under Roman persecution late in the first century. We hear part of the letter's conclusion today in today's reading. In hymn-like poetry, John offers a simple call, come. That call is not only for Jesus' hoped-for return, but to each of us to approach the spiritual nourishment of our faith as a source of healing, life-giving encouragement, and hope. A reading from the Revelations to John. At the end of the visions, I, John, heard these words. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies these things says, surely, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. This time of year, the last Sunday of Easter, we remember that Christ makes room for the coming of the Spirit, which we will celebrate next week at Pentecost. But this week, the focus comes right out of what is arguably the heart of John's telling of the gospel. It appears in what's known as Jesus' high priestly prayer, the whole 17th chapter, for those of you who are curious. And the heart of that chapter is what we hear today, and that is Jesus' prayer that not only his followers, his immediate friends who are gathered with him at the table in John's telling as he says this, but all of us who believe because of their word and witness may be one, to become one. In, I think, Jesus' prayer and in what the gospel tells us, this is about becoming one in union with God. Sometimes it helps to paint by contrast, right? And there was another form of oneness or unity in the ancient world, and it arguably continues in our own day, and that was the unity, the oneness of the empire, the Roman Empire. And we have a story from that place as well in that vivid reading from the book of Acts this morning. Some of you have heard me tell already that recent archaeological work in Pompeii, where things were preserved, can be very instructive for our understanding of what that world was like. What has been unearthed in Pompeii, because it was flash preserved in that volcanic eruption, is that colonies, Roman colonies, around the Mediterranean were quite violent places. There was a whole subcaste of slaves who were the economic engines of these communities, and they often worked cheek by jowl with animals that were also enslaved, without rest, until literally they dropped dead. These colonies also featured small arenas that were miniatures of the Roman Colosseum, and there were gladiatorial events that occurred. And sometimes we've learned from the history that fights would break out between families in the community, often well-to-do families, and they were fights about honor and status in society, and sometimes they would become quite violent and even result in death. And then the streets around many of these communities were lined with crosses. And those crosses were a reminder to anyone who walked by them that if you get out of line and you don't participate in the unity of the empire, this is what will happen to you. That was the unity, the oneness of the Roman Empire when the text we just heard was written. The alternative to that, which is given to us in the gospel and also in the Acts reading, is the complete overturn of that whole social order and that whole notion of how things should be structured. And it may be best be illustrated by Paul and Silas's experience in today's reading from the book of Acts. They essentially free a slave, but because they have upset someone's livelihood in the process, they get into terrible trouble, and they are persecuted, and then they are thrown into prison. Prisons were another part of the Roman order of unity. The threat of imprisonment was always looming large over those who got out of line, and once you were in prison, it was just a very short step from that to death. But Paul and Silas, rather than lamenting their fate, do something that surprises everybody, including the other prisoners. They begin to sing hymns and pray while they're in the stocks. I mean, can you imagine the faith that that must have took? And then there is an earthquake. If somebody raised the question in the 8 o'clock this morning, why didn't they just leave? Why did they stay? And we remembered, of course, the whole point of them being in Philippi was because they were called there to spread the gospel. So they are determined to do that no matter where they find themselves. And the jailer, who realizes that all of his captives are no longer in chains and assumes that they've left the prison, gets ready to take his own life because that is the only proper response to failing to do your job in the unity of the Roman Empire. But Paul and Silas call on him to refrain and then bear witness. And suddenly all of these hearts are converted and a new kind of unity is brought to light. It is a unity that is freely entered, not entered through coercion or the threat of violence. It is a unity that is preserved in joy and relationship and fellowship and in prayer, not at the point of a sword or the threat of imprisonment. It is a unity where people are free to be who God has made them to be, and at the same time, it is about those same diverse people brought together as we are this morning into community. And it is that community that is given to bring healing to a hurting world. We are all called into that union, into that unity. We articulate it every time we gather for fellowship and prayer, and every time we come forward to this table to receive the sacraments given. And then we are free to go out and take the good news to others, to set the captives free, as the old song goes. This is our work, and this is what Jesus prays for in the heart of his priestly prayer. Our invitation, the divine invitation to each of us, and an invitation we are given to share with others.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.